Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Pharisees sent representatives to ask John the Baptist who he was, and he says he is a voice in the wilderness. Who are you? There are a lot of ways to answer that question. It's more than just your name. Who you are means, what is your importance? Why are you relevant? It's a very personal question, really. When I was a vicar on an Indian reservation, I remember it being very difficult to begin to get to know someone. One way to get to know someone is to ask them what they do. But that question was always met with an awkward silence and confusion, because no one there had any jobs. Your occupation is an aspect of who you are. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen before they were disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. Paul was a Pharisee. Lydia was a seller of purple dye. Tabitha, a seamstress. Jesus cast 7 demons from Mary Magdalene. But we don't know who she was before. This led to speculation that she was a prostitute, mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures. People got to do something. They got to be something. So who is John? Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? No, then why are you baptizing? They're asking for John's certification, his call and ordination papers, if you will. What gives him the right to baptize? The Pharisees were legalists, after all. Everything's got to be signed, stamped, cleared, approved. You can't even cut hair in our society without a license. John, where'd you get your preaching license, your license to baptize? It's a serious business to operate a sacrament without a license. You wouldn't want somebody going around performing heart or dental or any other kind of surgery without a license. The harm they could cause is permanent. So maybe the Pharisees were ensuring quality standards of the religious activities in the region. But the scriptures are clear about the Pharisees. They were pretenders. They were not concerned ultimately about saving lives or souls. Sure, they had the religious office to preach and to judge, but they were not good guys. Listen to this. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, John tells us this. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." If we just let Jesus keep preaching, everyone will believe in him. Why would that be so bad? Because they will lose their place and their nation. People today talk about privilege and intersectionality and how society is erected upon institutions with symbolic structures that serve to keep the powerful in power. That's not some brilliant insight by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in the 19th century. The scriptures had already shown us the reality centuries before. In this world, power corrupts, and those who have it use it to keep it. The Pharisees were the good old boys who loved the nation of Israel because they loved their place in it. Luke calls them lovers of money. They hide behind their religious credentials, helping no one, but keeping their place in the nation by binding people to useless traditions and enslaving them further and further to sin. They had privilege and held others in captivity, and now they were threatened by someone who was content to wear camel's hair and eat locust rations, calling the captives with Stockholm syndrome to repentance, rebuking their captors, and preparing their hearts for God. You know, the Pharisees aren't just the Pharisees. They are a spirit that manifests itself in the world over and over and over again. The prophets of the Old Testament preached against the Pharisees, and there are Pharisees in the Christian church today. They use their religious credentials to appear righteous while harboring malice and avarice in their hearts. They pretend to want to keep the peace when they really want to keep their place. It's not just that they're sinners. We're all poor, miserable sinners. No, it's that they prefer comfort and status over truth. And yet the world makes them gatekeepers of speech. They flash their phylacteries and licenses to preach while their words and deeds lack the spirit of the Lord and the heart of his message. So they are rightly called blind guides. They can't actually see the truth to lead people to it. All they can do is check for license and registration, boast in their own credentials, and bind the weak to the law. But John came in the power and the spirit of Elijah. He came preaching, not with a badge from the Pharisees, but with a commission from the Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers. So he was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." John had power. But his power was a calling from before he was born, to be a prophet of the Most High and to go before the Lord to prepare his way. But who he was really was a voice and a message. "I am not the Christ, but he is coming, and I will point to him. I must decrease, he must increase." The spirit of the Pharisees will persist in this life. Those who love the world will find privilege in the world. Don't be surprised by it. Don't occupy Ottawa over it. Won't do any good anyway. But the spirit of Elijah is still in the world also. The voice is still crying in the wilderness, and the gospel has not perished from the earth. The word came into the world, and his gospel has increased. Our kingdom is not of this world, but of the world to come. And the Christmas promise of Isaiah rings real for us. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.